This is News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. Jim is under the weather. Hopefully, he'll be back tomorrow. My fingers are crossed. Joining me is Mark Mendelson. He is Newstalk 1010's crime specialist. And we're talking about a headline that we found in the Star. Teen girls charged in swarming death of homeless man are suspects in random TTC assaults. For people listening across the country, the TTC is the Toronto Transit Committee. And that's all the subways and streetcars and buses and that sort of thing that run here in the city. And this is a story that has kind of shocked the city since mid-December when this happened. A swarm of young girls on December 17th, some as young as 13 years old, swarmed and killed a homeless man downtown in Toronto, and it has shocked the city. Now they think that they may have, the police think that these young women may have been on the subway causing trouble beforehand and are looking for information. So we're bringing in Mark Mendelson, our crime specialist and a former homicide detective, to shed some light on why this new bit of information is a key piece in putting this case together. Mark, how are you?
Hi, good evening, Richard. Well, it's getting cold in Toronto. Summer's over. There you go. Isn't this a bizarre, just a bizarre story?
It really is.
It's just frightening. It took the whole city by surprise. You can't, you know, people can't even fathom the idea of eight young girls, you know, two of them were 13, two 14, and two 16, cornered this man, and he died of stab wounds. And then, of course, they've all been charged now with murder, with second degree murder. And of course, now we find out that through other investigative avenues and probably some security footage that they've retrieved from the Toronto Transit Commission, that it's quite likely that these marauding kids probably accosted people at five different subway stops before they got to Mr. Lee, who was the deceased, all on the same night, all within an hour and change, and assaulted them as well and threatened them and Lord knows what else. So one of the reasons the police are putting this information out now is they've probably been able to make some determinations that it's likely these people are responsible. But it's also they don't have any victims. So maybe this is going to be the trigger that will bring some of these victims to come forward to the police and say, hey, you know what? I was at that subway and these girls came up to me and here's what they did and here's what they said. And what the Homicide Squad is trying to do is to show a pattern.
Right.
That this wasn't just one straight confrontation with Mr. Lee. And they did it that, you know, they were there for the common purpose, and that was to rob and or kill somebody, which they did. It's a horrible situation. It's a frightening situation. It's, you know, when you think about the ages, and what's even more bizarre, Richard, is all of them, according to Homicide, all of them met online. They come from different parts of the city, different socioeconomic backgrounds, and they met online to do this hookup in Toronto that night. So eight random strangers, kids, get together, and this is what they decide is the appropriate activity for that particular evening. So this just sort of throws more salt into the wound. But in terms of the homicide investigation, in terms of any judicial proceedings going on down the road, yeah, this is important.
Well, it's also very rare for young girls, the 13 to 16 year olds, to be perpetrators of armed violence like this. And it's rarer still for them to be accused of murder. That's what it, according to the Toronto Star. Does that hold true with your experience as a homicide detective?
Well, yeah, by and large. I mean, I was in homicide for almost 15 years, and I investigated in excess of 100 murders here in the city. And I think 15 was the youngest that I ever had for an accused, maybe 14. But I've talked to a lot of, former colleagues of mine who have been in homicide for, almost as much time. Nobody can remember a time where you had, eight, let alone five or four of them together. Yeah. Here we're talking about eight. And at that tender age, nobody can ever recall that, certainly in this city. I'm sure it's happened in the States, but it certainly hasn't happened here to the best of our ability, even in the country.
At age 13, what's likely to happen? Are we looking at a situation where if they are, convicted, that they'll spend a year in jail and then away they go?
Well, they're all charged under the Youth Criminal Justice Act because they're all young offenders, essentially. So they're never, you know, unless the Crown decides, and that's going to be the Crown's decision, maybe that the two 16-year-olds, there might be, they may have an inclination to try those two as adults. That probably won't happen. You know, what we're going to find is that, the, you know, they're going to if convicted, you know, they could probably, and I would guesstimate right now, probably 3 years. 3 years tops. Really? And their records will be sealed. So this won't have any impact on them once they become adults. And I know that's very unsatisfying for most of us. But they are young persons under the law, and they're going to be provided with the legal remedies available to defense counsel to keep them out of jail as long as they possibly can. And we don't know for sure, Richard, whether all eight are going to get convicted of murder. What generally happens when you get a bunch of people like this together and they've been charged, it doesn't take long before the finger pointing starts. Okay, so you're going to get one of the girls going, "Hey, look, I knew we were going to rob this guy for his bottle of booze. But hell, I didn't know anybody had a knife. I didn't know anybody was going to stab him. That wasn't me. I didn't stab him. I was there, but I didn't stab." So there's going to be this sort of, you know, posturing back and forth, and everybody's going to try and get the, you know, the best deal in the best position that they can put themselves in. So we shouldn't be surprised if one or two, maybe even three of them actually get convicted of the murder, and the others will be lesser included offenses.
When you're interrogating someone, is it like we see on Law and Order? When you have someone sitting at a table and you've got good cop, bad cop, you've got, you know, methods that you use to get answers from people. What, how realistic is what we see on television versus what happens in real life?
Oh, it's not realistic at all, Richard. If it's an adult, if you're interviewing an adult, you know, a suspect, somebody I'm going to arrest for murder, first of all, everything is videotaped. Mm-hmm. Everything from the time they come into the station to the time that they leave in a paddy wagon, everything is on videotape. So that, you know, the picture everybody has in their mind of the lamp shining down on them and the bad cop banging on the desk and all that stuff is just, you know, makes for great TV. It does not make for really good reality. In most cases, you know, when I've interviewed murderers, they'll do one of two things. They will either just shut up and not say a word, or you can't shut them up and they just keep talking and talking and talking. When we're talking about young persons like we are in this case, they are by law entitled to have a parent or any other adult that they choose in the room with them while they're with the police. And I'm quite sure that they exercise that right. And that's over and above a lawyer, by the way.
Right.
So, you know, it makes for great TV. You know, it's more like Barney Miller, I think, than Law and Order.
And do you think that this swarming attack heightens concerns for people that are living on the streets? We've seen over the last little while a number of acts of violence. It was someone slashing people on the streets here. This happened. What do you think that there is a heightened concern because of things like this moving forward into the future?
Well, they're so vulnerable, right? The people that are homeless, certainly in Toronto, and I would imagine the same holds true in Vancouver and Montreal. And, you know, they are vulnerable. And you know, the sad part is that they don't have anything that the robbers want. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of them having money or a cell phone or anything else like that. They're doing this sort of in a frenzied way that we haven't seen for such a long time. Mm-hmm. It's well over a decade ago that the common term we used was swarming.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the kids would circle around somebody, wouldn't let them out of the way, but they were stealing their phone, or they were stealing their Nike running shoes or something, a piece of clothing that they wanted. Now it's just a wanton disregard and for anybody's life. And the fact that it's happening with younger and younger people just goes to show you what can happen if you get that mob mentality and they get into that frenzy and they work themselves up into this huge lather where something terrible like this happens. I hope it's not a trend, but it's certainly in cities in Canada where there are a lot of homeless people, yeah, they're vulnerable. Absolutely.
We have to leave it there, Mark. Thank you so much. That was Mark Mendelson, News Talk 1010 crime specialist and former homicide detective. When we come back, we're going to ask a criminal anything. Stay with me. You'll want to hear this segment. I'm Richard Krause in for Jim Richards.